So the first part of the Gemara today just continues what we were discussing yesterday, and that's how do we know that Nara Murasa, right, on the top of Samachet Amad Aleph, how do we know that Nara Murasa is Baala, right, and Aviha Mefarim Nedarel, right, that they have jointly, right, it's a joint ability to be made for the Nedarim of the daughter of the wife, or the Arusa, she's engaged to him. That's what we're going to continue today. But the source, yesterday we said the source was, as we looked at yesterday with the Pesukim, was the layout of the Pesukim that forced us to, right, to interpret or to have it, have us understand that the, when the Torah says, right, that Mayoti Elish, that that's referring to a Nara Murasa. So today we're just going to continue. We mentioned this yesterday, that Tana Debate Rabbi Shmuel has a different view. And Tana Debate Rabbi Shmuel uses the final, the concluding pasuk of the whole parsha to learn this out. Right? Debate Rabbi Shmuel Tano, Ben Ish Li Ishto, Ben Av Levito. So that there is a hekesh between Ish and Ishto, and Av Levito. And what's that hekesh, or what is the connection between them? And that is Mikana Naram Rasa Shavio Vala Mefirin Dendera. The juxtaposition of these two in the concluding pasuk teaches us that there is somewhere where they have a joint ability to be Mefirin Nedarim. And where is that? That is in a Nura Beit Avia, right? By Nara Mirasa. Alright. So then Ulatana de Rabbi Shmuel. So now going to Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, that's a nice way to learn it out. But then we're left with the original problem we had with the Psukim, which is what? What are you going to do with that paragraph with Pasuk Zion, right? Chet and Tet, which seem then, according to the way we learned yesterday, right, then Zion, Chet and Tet are referring to a Nara Murasa, right, then everything makes sense. So that we know why that middle paragraph is there, to teach us that there's a situation where a woman will have both her husband and her father involved in the Hafaras Nedarel. But if you're learning that out from the final puzzle of Rabbi Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, what are you going to do with the Psukim, Zayin, Tet, and Tet now? That's what Gemara is asking. Mabile. Mukim li'idach to Rabbah. They use it for the other statement of Rabbah. Won't spend a lot of time on it now because we're going to get to it in 2 days. It's on Ayin Amad Aleph. The other Rabbah there, Rabbah says that, that just like your Mekish Kodme Havaya Shnia, the Kodme Havaya Rishona, that the, those that have preceded the first engagement have the same status as those who precede the second engagement. So we'll see when we get there that whose rights those are and what those rights mean. But any, whatever the case is, they need it for another rimut. Then the Gemara says, all right, what about Rava? Rava we're discussing over here, because Rava is the other version of this. Rava or Rabba, it's probably Rabba.
Well, the first one it. Should be Rabba.
Yeah, they all should be Rabba. That's right, they both are.
Oh, they all should be?
Lidach the Rabba.
I think just the first one is Rabba, the second one is Rabba.
Rabba.
Really?
Yeah. But you're saying the Yelp is Rabba. Yeah, because the Ran, the Deer Musk on the Ran is also Rabba. Alright, I mean, it's probably both should be Rabba. Okay, so Rabbah learned out from Hoyotayel Ish as the source of Nara Murasa that she gets both her father and her husband to be made for Nidara. What does he do with the concluding pasuk of Ben Ish Lishto, Ben Abbevito, Ben Rabbe Tavio? What does he do with that? So it says, Mivaylei Lomar Shabbal Maker Nidarim Shabbin Olavena. That comes to teach you that a husband can be made for Nidarim that are Beno Levena. What does that mean? Right, so we know that a husband has a right to be made for the nedarim of his wife. Which nedarim does the husband have a right to be made for? So in the psukim, right, it's the psukim themselves give us one case, that it is a case of inu nefesh. Right. So if you look in pasuk, where is it? Lisa nefesh. Here in pasuk yudal, it says called neder. So that the husband has a right to be mevatel any or the hefer any neder that relates to inui nefesh. So that's one category of nedarim where the husband has rights in being made for his wife's nedarim. The other possibility, which is what Rab was suggesting over here, is that there's another category of nedarim where a husband has the right to be making the dharma, and that is, in yonim should have beinah the beinah. issues that are not necessarily inui nefesh, but have to do with their relationship. They know them, they not. And he, where does he learn that out from? He learns that out from the final pasuk, ben ish lishto, ben av levito, ben ureha beit avio. He learns that these are issues that come ben ish lishto, between a husband and a wife. Issues that are between a husband and a wife are what the husband is entitled to be mefer. Alright, so that's the end of this sugya. You point out two things. One is, according to Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, according to the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, how do you know that you're not allowed to be mefer bekodmin? Right? How do you know you're allowed to be mefer bekodmin by Naru Rasa, and by a Nesua, you're not allowed to be mefer bekodmin? Right, so that we learned that out from the extra, basically the extra section in the Pesukim according to Rabbi. Right, because the Mayot Yelish was extra, and that comes to teach you there's a difference between a Nisua and an Arusa. But Tana de Rabbi Yishmael doesn't have that, because they're not learning. How do they know that an Arus can be made from a Kodim? So he says, and it's almost like a conclusion what Rabbi said yesterday, is that the Ron points out, that's logical. You don't need Sukkim to teach you that, because the only reason to be made for the Kodim, those that took place prior to your relationship, is that only someone else who had the relationship is there. And where is that? That's when the father is involved, right? So only when the father is involved does it make sense to say Mefer Bekodmin. When the father is not involved, it doesn't make any sense. Your relationship with the woman started today with the Nisuin. Why should you have rights to Nidarim that are there prior to your Nisuin?
If you don't have Nidarim that affect their relationship, in fact, you could say, you know, is that part of, you know, part of the package of Kedushin or Nisuin, let's say, is that,
right, but then he should make that's something he can deal with. I mean, that there's you have two different stages. Like if you're buying something, right, and you want to have it. Where's my real estate man here? Right, if you're buying something and you want to know that there's nothing wrong with the title, right, you buy it and you check it out beforehand. Meaning that if it has to do with the nedarim that are on her, right, then he has a right not to get married to her. He has a right not to buy the property. Right, he has a right to reject the whole situation. Once he's married, right, and then she's taking the darim, he's stuck already because he's bought the property. He's got to deal with what he has. But we're not going to give you rights to something that happened prior, which you could have prevented by not getting married or making a tonight, right, in the kiddushin, or so on and so forth, that would eliminate the need for her to check it out afterwards. All right, so that's one question. The second question is for the hekesh. What does Rabbi hold of this hekesh between Ben Yishtom and Av Levito? Okay, that happens to be a machlokes between the Ran and the Rambam. The Ran believes that a father can only be made for the nedarim of his daughter that are the same ones that a husband can be made for his wife. So what can a husband be made for his wife? It is inui nefesh and beino levena. So a father then will only be entitled to be made for the nedarim of his daughter when it's inui nefesh or beino levena if there's something in their relationship, meaning kibud rav aim, not the same type of relationship that she has with her husband. That's where the Ran learns. The Ran says that the Hekesh stands even for Rabbo, and he shows from the Sifri and from the Yerushalmi that they make such a Hekesh. Whereas the Rambam says no, that the Av has the rights to be made for any neder of his daughter. That the limitation of Inui Nefesh is only found in the paragraph of Mebeit Isha, only found in the paragraph of Nisuin for the husband. And that limitation of that of the Inui Nefesh plus or the expansion to include Beino Levena is only applicable to a husband and not to a father. A father has rights in every nether of his daughter.
Okay. Until he loses them.
I'm sorry?
Until he loses them.
Until he loses them, right. All right, so that's the end of this sugya about how do we know Naram Ruah. So again, just quickly, Rabbi learns it out from the...
I'm sorry. But what about during that period where they have to jointly...
Right,
so then the father is limited to
what the husband can be made for, only because if the husband can't be made for, then it's not relevant, right? Because they need the husband to be involved. So we said Rabbi learned it out from the fact that we have one part of that parsha talks about a woman when she's single, the other part of the parsha talks about a woman when she's married. So we have this extra section which we don't know what it's talking about. So Rabbi says, well, it must be talking about, by process of elimination, must be talking about a Nara Murasa. And Nara Murasa, we did again by process of elimination, that has to be the husband and the father together who can be Mefer Linidarim. The Tana de Rabbi Yishmael learned that out from the final pasuk, that there's a hekesh between Av Levito and Ish Leisho, and therefore we see that there's a point in time where they're both relevant. When are they both relevant? That's a case of not Rabbi Rasa. He's still going to have to use what Rabbi said, because otherwise, you know, how does he know it's not Rabbi Rasa? But what does he do? B'mayotziya the ish. What does he do that? He learns that from the other limud of Rabbi or Rava, that it's made for the Kodmei Rishona, Kimo, the Kodmei Shnia. There's a heckish between the first Kodmei and the second Kodmei. We'll do that. It has to do with two marriages or two engagements. And we'll deal with that and when we get to Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. Then we discuss the fact that according to Rabbah, what does Rabbah do with the pasuk of the Tanakh Bar Mishmal? We said that teaches you that the husband's right to be made for Nidarm is not simply limited to Ilay Nefesh, but it's also expanded to include Beino Lebeino. That's Ben Ish, Beishto. Right? And then we pointed out the Machlokes Ran and the Rambam, which is when these limitations of Inu Nefesh and Beino Lebeino, is that simply limited to the husband? Right? Only the husband had those limitations, or does the limitations because of the Hekish also apply to the father, which the Ran supported that position. The Rambam, on the other hand, believed that the father is not, right, limited by these, requirements of having it be, you know, Nefesh or Ben Levena, the father can be made for Nidarim for his daughter in any form or shape or form in Nidarim. Right, that's the end of the sugi. The next sugi is very short in Gemara, but very difficult. Okay, it's difficult not because of the standpoint, meaning that it's a difficult topic, it's just difficult because the Gemara is unclear and the Rishonim are unclear about it. I'm going to go with the Ran, okay, because the Ran is the most expansive writing about it and is again trying to deal with the issues in the Gemara. And he writes just as an introduction, I'll just read you his introduction to this. It says, I've seen many of the Rishonim that speak on this. He writes it over here in the beginning, over here, and then again on Tanakh Tamid Aleph at the end of the sugya, he says, because even the Rabbanan Tuba Mili Dilo Nahiri, I see many interpretations of this Gemara that make no sense. Lo Birilan, Lo Kashinan Lemichtavano, and because they're so unclear, I didn't even bother to write them. Alright, so that's the Ran's view of the other opinions in the sugya. What's the issue at hand is we have now a joint, right? We have a joint Hakara. The father and the husband have a right to be made for the Nidorim of the woman, daughter, right, wife or daughter. Now, with their joint rights, how joint are their rights? Meaning that how independent are they of each other, and how dependent are they on each other? And that's the Gemara's first question. I'll just read the question in the Gemara, and then we'll continue with this little introduction. Are there two ways to view when you have joint ownership of a certain item? You can look at it that we each own 50% of the item, right? Or, right, we have each own 100% right? Meaning that we each own 100% of it. We're just not sure which 100% we own. Right? We had this question earlier with the Dharam, right? Whether it's so how would you view it then? It means that each of us has a right on the 100%. We can each weaken it by 50%. But we need takes both of us to eliminate the entire 100% that we are controlling. So that's the first question. When a Baal is maker, is he Migas Gais? Does he cut half the nether? It means that he basically takes away 50% of the nether, and the other 50% will be left with the father to take care of. Or do we say that the nether is still in effect? The full nether is still in effect. He just weakens it, and then you require the father to eliminate it. It's still 100% effective, and will be the napkin, you know? So we'll just read this. And where hate come, Baalon, right? What is the question? Here, Kagon, the Nadra, he trains Zaytan. She took a nether from 2 hours. Vishama Orus, Vahifrla. Her intended to be, hears about it, and he's made bare the nether. Vachal Tanun. And she ate them. Right? If we say that the Baal is made for 50%, then what do we say? He got rid of 1 olive. The other olive is still a problem for her. He took care of 50% of the nether. Now there's 50% left, and she'll get Malkus, because she ate something that was a sort, or ate something that she has a nether on. But if you say, Miklash Kodesh, right, if you say that the Baal simply weakens the nether, Yisur Baalmahu, then she won't get Malkus. So even, it's almost counterintuitive. The fact is that if you eliminate 50% of the nether, you will get Malkus, because the other 50% is still in its full force and full token. Whereas if you say Miklash Kodesh, the husband is able to weaken the nether, then all will be left. And it's not a full-fledged nether, it's a weakened form of the nether. The weakened form of the nether is an Yisur, but not an ability to give you Malkus. So therefore, she eats them, right, she will be Chayevet, it's not Easter, it'll be also for to do such, but she will not get Malkus. that's the difference between Mikas Goyis and Miklash Kolis. Their partnership, how does the partnership work in terms of if one of them is makil their rights, if one of them exercises their rights, what do we have left over? Do we have left over 50% of the nether, or do we have left over a full nether, but just in its weekend form? Okay, so now there are two quick questions. One is pointed out is that she has to eat both olives to be chayev. Okay, she needs to eat both olives because we don't know which 50%. No, but we don't know which 50% she's made for. I mean, when she says two olives, which one belongs to the husband and which one belongs to the father? So if she eats only one olive, then we could say she ate the husband's olive, right?
You can't say that she ate half each.
Oh, so that's it.
She wouldn't have a...
That's not so clear. That is the Ran. Asks that question and says that by Nedarim you don't need a shear. By Konon Amot, you don't need a shear of Kedais. The required of shear is an Achila. It's a term of Achila, not Iser.
Only Achila has a shear.
Yeah, but that's not it. Yeah, but here you don't have Achila. By Nedarim, by Shavuos you do. If you take a Shavuah, which refers to the individual, then you're talking about Achila. Achila will have a definition, possibly. It's not focused on Martin Shavuos about this, but we can say that there is another thing. But when it comes to Nedarim, you're answering the Chifetz.
On Hano.
Right, you're having a Chifetz by Achila or Hano. Either way, but there's no Shear. You don't have, it's not Achila, meaning that Ochel. It's Ochel that you're answering. You're not answering Achila. Achila is the Pula, it's the action. The action of Achila can only happen when you have a Kazayit. But to answer something bi Achila, right, means that it just has to be a restricted item. And that restricted item can be any size. Konamot, Hektesh. Hektesh can apply to anything. Right, it can apply even to the smallest amount of...
And Achila also, there's no shear?
Right. There is a shear. That's very good. So that's the answer. Three answers for the Ran. The Ran gives three possible answers. It brings from the Rashba. Three possibilities. One possibility, which is the Ran has said this earlier in the Masechta, when we say nether, it doesn't always mean nether. It means nether and shvua. It means that the word nether is a general term. And that can mean nether or shvua. So he takes the other problem and says, this could be a sugya by shvua. This could also be by shvua. By shvua, you would need a kezayis, because that's a time at achila. And achila will require a kezayis. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that there are opinions, like what you were arguing, Shol, that say that even by nether, by kodamot, that you do require a kezayis. In order to be muskum makol here, even though maybe we don't hold to that opinion, in order to be dibrei akol here, we mention the word size, even though you wouldn't need it. Right, that's another possibility. One more possibility is that when it says loke here, it doesn't merely mean malchus, but that means for korban. She's bringing a korban here, because she did it, if she did it b'shogeg, or we're talking about a case where she wouldn't have malchus, but rather would bring some sort of korban, that is effective. Everyone agrees you need a shear. To bring a korban, you need a shear. I mean, whereas by the Isser or for malchus, you may not need a shear at all, that's malchus ben nedarim. By a korban, everybody agrees that you need a shear kizais. Right? And
the Gemara used specifically the case of Zaysim.
What?
I think the Gemara used the case of Zaysim specifically for that reason.
Right. Well, it sounds like it would be easy, but he says that. But the only problem with that is the Rekiv Eger points out, and this is what you're asking, Shaul, what's the requirement you asked this about Ni'ilah, what's the shear, the requirement of a shear? It's only a pruta. Ni'ilah is a monetary measurement, it's not an achila measurement. Because Mi'ilah has to do with me getting Hanah from the Hektesh. Hanah from the Hektesh would be Shavu Pruta. It has to be the value of a Pruta, not a Kezayis. It's a din in Achila, not a din in Hanah. So over here, if she's taking a Neder, then why should it be, that's where Rabbi Yehuda points out, why is this a good answer that it's talking about Korbanos? Because Korbanos are, right, Shayach, like, Tachos Mishavu Pruta, Shavu Pruta is the cutoff, not Kezayis. And so you still have the other two answers of the.
So we need to take that from a carbon that they're not permitted to eat.
But that's a different issue. What you're asking me mitzvah mi'ilah, or you're asking me mitzvah iser?
It's a
because if it's achila, you will require a tzayis, but that's achila. That's a reserve of achila.
That would be the
hashra to kavanos. Here it sounds like she was asked the two seitim. No, it doesn't say. She never said the word achila. It's not clear that there's an issue. And if it's a neder, again, achila is not the issue. And then in Konamot, when we say Nedarim, they're compared to Konamot. Konamot is an issue of Me'ilah. I mean, it's not an issue of eating something that's inappropriate. It's Me'ilah, getting benefit from Hektish. Right? That's the whole point of this. There are not. All right. Anyway, so those are the three possibilities.
But if what you're benefiting is reading it, then you're not benefiting.
In Hektish, you would not need it. You only need a Shavu Pruta.
I think Tosfos seems to say that the Isser is an Achila.
Right. That the Isser is what?
No, we're not going with Tosfos.
Right. Oh, there is, you could answer that the whole neder here was achilah, was shvua, which is what the Ran doesn't. And the Ran said that it could be a shvua here, and it's talking about an isra achilah. An isra achilah is only when you take a shvua. There is no isra achilah when you take a neder. The neder is that I will. This chavetz is asr be'achilah. Means that there's a isra on the chavetz to be eaten, not that you to eat. If pula eating is a din shvua, it's not a din of neder necessarily. And that's why the Ron says you have to say that maybe it's referring to Shul here as well. All right, anyway, that's it. This is the easy part of the Gemara. This is the easy part. All right, so now back to just a little introduction about this. So now we have joint. I read this. I want to show you that here the joint ownership is not simple. When we have joint ownership, what does it mean to have joint ownership? Right? Does it mean that we split 50-50 our ability, or do we have a 100%? We're able to one. Each one of us is able to weaken it. Right now, after we get through actually how it functions, right, this is the practical way of how it functions, then I have to deal with what happens if in each stage, and that's what the next Gemara is going to be about, what the father does something or the husband does something, how do they impact on each other? Right, if one of them disappears, if one of them's there, one of them's not there, what has that impact on the nether? And that's what all the next case is going to be about. Now, it's clear from the Gemara, and we're going to see this in the cases coming up, that the father has more rights than the husband. Right, the father is still more powerful than the husband in this case of Nara Merasa. So even though we say they jointly can be made for Nedarim, it's clear that the father is in much better position than the husband is. And the father has more rights and more ability to be made for the Neder and to even take over the husband's rights. Whereas the other way is not true. The husband doesn't have the ability to take over the father's rights. Right, and he has a weakened ability to be made for nether. So if we're talking about 50-50, it's not so clear it's 50-50. It's more, I'm just saying percentages-wise, just making it up, but it's like more like 75-25 or 66-33, that the father has much more rights. Not that he can be cut in half, but we'll see that because of that there are many nafkamino, you know, it's about the father versus the husband. The other thing is, and this would be just a brief introduction of the way that Ram learns, is that if you say miklash kolish, if you say that a nether is weakened, right, once a nether is weakened by the hafara, that might change, right, something about the hafara, or the ability to be mayfair. So, for instance, in general, when we talk about Yerusha, right, when you inherit something, right, something has to be of substance or substantial in order to inherit it. If it's miklash kolish, if it's too small or too insignificant, then you can't be modish it. You can't give it over to another person. Again, we have this similar types of cases in Yevamos by Imamar, we discussed this yesterday a little bit, Imamar Machamar, or Marmar by Geth, or Get Imamar, when you get all these different combinations, it might be that if one brother does Mamar, one brother gives a Get before the other brother does anything, the Get might weaken it so that it eliminates the rights of the other brothers. I mean, that when you weaken a certain right, that right is not in its full force anymore, and you cannot therefore inherit it, or you never ever can pass it on. So that's one thing to keep in mind. That's one. The second possibility is also that maybe miklash makalish, if it's so insignificant, then maybe we'll let you be made for it. Even though you don't have rights to it, maybe you yourself can be made for the other parties, take over the other party's rights, not because you're inheriting them, but because it's so insignificant that your hafara by itself may be able to overcome the problem. Alright, if you have a weakened form, those are two possibilities here. The Gemara is going to discuss them, it's going to reject them. So this, in terms of how it means, you have to have that in mind. The Gemara is now going to come through with six cases. Alright, the Gemara is going to lay out six cases now. Three of the cases have to do with the ability of one party to inherit the other party's rights, and therefore one party can be made fair by themselves. And the other three are situations where they don't inherit the rights and they're unable to. The basic line drawn between them is that the father can inherit the rights of the husband, but the husband cannot inherit the rights of the father. Right? I'm actually going to read the Gemara out of order. Okay? Even though it's not the good daf yomi, I'm going to read the Gemara out of order only because I'm going to try to keep the cases together. So you can see the cases in sequence, all the cases that are similar. Why I'm doing that is because otherwise it's not clear why the Gemara brought down all these different cases. Is there, what you're searching for, what all the Ron spends his time on, is figuring out what's the Chiddush in each of the cases that are brought. Why did the Gemara bring down three different situations, and what is it teaching you in each situation? Why aren't they identical, all these situations? Alright, so we're going to read the first case here. Alright, Tashma. The Gemara wants to know, Tashma wants to prove our question about Miklash Kolish and Mikas Gais. Gemara wants to know, Tashma. I have a proof here. Eimatai Amru. When do we say Mitabau? That when the husband dies, it's broken out, just be out, that his rights revert back to the father. So meaning that if the husband dies, now the father can be made for the nedarim of the daughter without the husband. And then now that the husband's out of the picture, the father gets the rights back and can do it. When is that? One possibility is the husband never heard about the nether, and he dies. So the husband's not relevant because he never heard about the nether. So since he didn't hear about it, goodbye, husband. And now when he dies, the daughter comes back to the father, and the father can now be made fair by himself. Other possibility is, this man, Shishama, he heard, Bishakak, and he didn't say anything. Oh, Shishama, he heard, behavior, and he actually did nullify it. Umes Bobayom, and he died on that day. Now the Ron says, Umes Bobayom is only referring to Shatak, where he was silent. Right, so what happens if he heard about the nether, then he was silent? What's the, we said yesterday, what's the point of when you're silent? There's an implicit acceptance of the nether if you're silent. If you hear about it and you're not made for it, there's implicit acceptance. But what happened here? He died before the day was over. He died before the day was over. We don't know what his real opinion is. Was it silence because he intended to be made for later in the day? Or was it silence because he wanted to be making the nether? We can't read anything into his silence. Since we can't read anything into his silence, we assume that there's a possibility he would have been made for. Since there's a possibility he would have been made for, the father gets back full rights, and he has the rights then to be made for on his own, because the husband was never mekayim the nether. The third case is that the husband heard about it and nullified it. So the husband has now eliminated his need to be there, because he's been made for the nether. Then he dies, either on that day, or for instance, even on the next day he dies, and then the father hears about it, he can be made for a loan because the husband eliminated his rights in the nether, meaning that he took care of what he needed to take care of. He was made for the nether of his wife, and what's left over is left the father to deal with. The father can deal with what he needs to deal with. So those are three cases where when the husband dies, the father now inherits the right of the, all right, of the husband. Alright, now, Zushi Shen, you know this is what we learned. Mesa Baal, the Baal dies, it's broken the Rishus Le'av. It returns back to the father. A Baal, in a case, Im Shama Vikiyem, a Shama Vishatak. If he heard it, and then he was Mekayim the Nether, or he heard it, Vishatak, and he was silent, Umeis Biyom Shlakrav, and he died the next day. Then his silence is considered acquiescence. It's the equivalent of Kiyum. So these are two cases where the Baal is Mekayim it. Either by literally being Mekayim it, or through silence, he is Mekayim the nether. In that case, most Biyom Shlakrav died the next day, Ein Yachol Lehefer. The father's out of the picture. Even if the father reinherits or reacquires the rights to be made fair, doesn't do anything for you because the husband already exercised his right to be Mekayim the nether, and then you can't eliminate that. He's really basically knocked the father out of the picture by being Mekayim the nether. So whatever the father does after that is irrelevant. That's our first case. First case in the sequence of cases. I'm going to skip down in the line. We're going to skip the next case. And go to the case two lines down in the Gemara, it says Shama Bala. In the narrow lines, it's before you get to the widest lines of the Gemara there, Shama Bala. Last two words on the line there, Shama Bala. You see that? Shama Bala, if her husband heard, Vehefirla, and he nullified it. So far it sounds exactly like our first case. The husband heard about it, and he was made for it. The lo speak ha'av v'shmoa et shemes ha'bal. Father did not hear about it before the husband passed away. So Ishishaninu may sabal nekrona rishus la'av. Here it's, if he dies, the rishus, it goes back to the father, and the father can do it himself. So how is this different than the first case we had? The first case also said, Shama, right? The Baal heard about it, Vehefer law, and then he was made for it, and then he died. We have two cases here where the husband heard about it, he was made for it, he nullified it, and then he dies. What's the difference between...
The need for the other one to be conscious of.
Oh, so Lo he speak Lishma, both of you guys are saying.
Same time.
Ah, very good. So that's,
I learned that yesterday.
The Ron is suggesting the Lo he speak Lishma, right? Obavat Akash, right? Although it's not the issue here, but it has effect. We know that being Bat Akash has some impact. But that's not the issue here is not Bat Akash, but something else, which we'll see in a second, which is, so Lo he speak, that's the extra question. Lo he speak Av Lishma. What's different in the second case, according to the Ron, is that the father did not hear about it. In the first case, they're both aware of it. The husband then, before the husband dies, the father is aware of it. Let's not say it at the same time. The father is aware of it before the husband dies, and the husband has been made for it. He nullified his section. Then he dies. Now, so the father knew about it prior to the husband passing away. That's the first case. In our case over here, what's the case? The case is that the father did not hear about it at all. Husband's passed away. He only finds out about it after the death of the husband. The question is, what's the chiddush in each of these cases? Shouldn't one of them be obvious? I mean, if you know one, shouldn't the other one be obvious? One of them is a bigger chiddush than the other. If one of them is a bigger chiddush than the other, then you shouldn't need both cases to teach you. So what the Rambam has to come up with here is why each one of them is more of a chiddush. Right? So that's what we're gonna say over here. What's the case? So the first case is a case that what? That there was no weakening of the nether. There was no destruction of the nether, and therefore we have a nether that is in full force in some sense. That's the Hagmid of the Gemara. That our first case where the husband heard about it, he was made for it. Right? When he's made for it, then what? He dies. And the Hafara is aware now that the husband knows about it, and he's aware of the nether. Then the husband dies. What happens to the Hafara of the husband? Right? Do we say that the Hafara of the husband stands? Or do we say possibly when the husband passes away, right, it's as if his Hafara never took place? Is that basically he's eliminated from the picture and his hafara was out? Now we're back to a nether but full token. Because his death might erase the hafara.
Why?
We're going to see that that's what happens when the father dies. It erases the hafara. You know, we have such a case like yesterday, right, where the case where he was mekayim the nether, right, after the hafara of the first individual. And we say that that erases the first hafara.
Cool. So if you have such
the other party, right here, if the husband was made fair and then the father was made fair, right, we say that the kiyum of the father erases the hafara of the baal, even though the baal is still around. I mean that you can erase by having some sort of action.
So there
is another interpretation, right, the other possibility with the Rambam versus the Ramban. But I'm just saying that you have such concept, either the hafamina of the bar there or the conclusion according to that other opinion is that if you have an interruption in between, it does erase the hafara. Whether you can be mocked the hafara again, whether you can do it again, is fine. But we know that if something happens in between, you can erase the hafara when it's not complete.
Is the reason here because when the baal dies before the father knows about it, his hafara existed in a at a time when it was impossible to assume that the father would be maker. Because we had said before that the baal dies.
Right.
After Zafara, without saying anything, Shamar Vashasak, right. But he died on that same day, we assume that he would have been Mefer.
Or he could have been.
But here, you can't make any assumptions, because the father...
No, but the father's not relevant here, because it's the husband who we're caring about. The husband's the one who heard about it. I mean, that it's all that's relevant is
the father and the husband.
Yeah, but the father has been here on two different days, and be Mefer. Say on a normal case, where they're here on two different days and they're Mefer, it works. That's still considered by Bacchus. Now, if they hear on totally different days, and the husband's made for on Monday, and the father has been on Wednesday, and he's made for on Wednesday, then it works. The hafara is a good hafara.
But maybe the mechanics of that is only when we can assume
that they knew at the same time
that there was a time and space where they would have agreed as to whether or not it was going to be mufar.
Right.
And here you can't assume that.
Doesn't seem to be the case, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, I'm saying it's not so clear here what the kiddushim are, because again, I'm going to get to your case in a second. Let me just Dan, what do you want to say?
So the reason why, it's kind of obvious why the second is a chiddush over the first.
Because that's what Tzvi is suggesting.
Yeah,
the second one's obviously chiddush because they didn't hear it together. Since they were never in the same time and space, that should be a bigger chiddush that they're able to inherit the
gender. Since this sort of shukma implied, the fact that they never...
We're anxious. Let's try.
The reason why the first is a chiddush over the second, though, that's what is that because in the second case, because there was never a situation where they overlapped, so therefore no chance was lost. Whereas in the first case, there was a situation where the husband was alive, and the father knew that there was a nullification going on.
Right.
And didn't take part in it.
Right.
And that's why you have a habamina, or you would think that the chance was lost.
Right.
The chance was lost, and now you can never go back on it.
So I think that's what the Ron's learning. I think you're right. I think the Ron's learning this. The Ron's going to suggest that it finish somewhere along the lines of what Daniel's suggesting over here. There might be a difference when the father's aware or at the time of the nether. Since the father had an ability to be made for the nether at the same time the husband did, and he forfeited it because he didn't do it at that moment, meaning that he didn't lose his right to do it, but he didn't do it at the time, and then the husband passes away. So that's when we're going to say maybe the husband's death erases his hafara. Because they didn't work together, the husband's hafara goes away, and now we have a full-fledged nether. When you have a full-fledged nether, maybe the father is not strong enough to be made for the nether alone. And that's the chiddush of the first case, is that the father alone can be made for the nether, even though we quote unquote, eliminated the husband here. And his hafara almost as if is meaningless now because they had an ability to do it together, they didn't do it together, and therefore it's as if they lost an opportunity. Losing that opportunity might mean that the net are still in a state where the father can't do it alone. Chiddush is, yes, the father can do it alone. So that's, I think, so much use.
When there were sorrows in the line, if they didn't stand at the same time, was there like one?
Right. There are similar types of cases where we have two brothers and they didn't live at the same time and one died but the other wife is still there. Can it doesn't
matter? Right. Of course, brothers could to fall from the same brother
at the same
time. In the light at the same time, therefore they're not considered.
So that's the type of, not exactly how, but I think that's the same concepts apply, that you can have weakened and strengthened relationships. So that's one. Now, what's the Kiddush when the father doesn't hear it? So this is the other possibility, and this is what I suggested before, that what if the husband heard about it, and he was made for it? And then the father never knew about it while the husband made for it. So there was no lost opportunity here. But now the husband weakened the nether. When he weakens the nether, he brings it down to a point of insignificance, maybe. And therefore, the father may not be able to inherit the rights of the husband. And it's so insignificant that the father can't get a hold of it anymore. So that the father alone can't be made fair because he still needs the husband, but the husband's gone. Let him inherit the rights of the husband. Maybe he can't inherit the rights of the husband when it's so insignificant. And that you have to, in order to get rights from another person, it has to be a significant right. The right doesn't really significant anymore, you may not be able to inherit the right. So that's what the Ram says. The Kiddushim of the two cases are, right, that either because the nether is too strong, maybe the father can't do it alone. Why is it too strong? Because that's the first case. I mean, the possibility was that they stood at the same time, they lost the opportunity, now the husband dies, and now that it's as if it's a far never happened, maybe the father can't do it alone. The Gemara says, yes, he can do it alone. But maybe the second case is saying, no, father never heard about it at the time, right? He never heard it at the same moment that the Baal had heard about it. The Baal was made for it, it's Miklos Kolish. He weakened the nether. If he weakens the nether, maybe it's so insignificant that it cannot be passed on, right, to the father. If it can't be passed on to the father, then the father now has the inability or is unable to be made for the nether in its entirety because he can't get a hold of that right that he needs for the husband.
How did you weaken it?
Right, because the husband was made for it.
Oh, you're talking about the case where he was made for it.
That's the two cases. Both cases are that he was made for it. Shema Baal Vahevila.
No, or Shasla.
No, but Shasla is not mentioned in both. It's not mentioned in both cases. Right, it's only the hafer is the only case that's repeated here. Right, so I'm a bottle of hafer, at least we've got the small. Because Svatak doesn't make sense. If he dies on the next day, then Shtika by definition is a Tiyum. Right, if he dies the next day, then Shtika by definition is a Tiyum, and therefore you can't talk about Shtika anymore. The only way to take Shtika is significance, he dies on that day. Right, that was the first case, so that's not relevant to our case. The two cases here are cases of Hafara, where the Baal was made for it. The question is, did he die today? Or the friend of Ryan even died tomorrow, but the father had known about it, or did the father not know about it and heard about it later? And that's the Chiddush according to the Ran. Now there's a third case, which we're going to do now, which is the top of some of Tenemut Al, the third case here. Shama Abiha, right, her father heard about it, right, the Hefer law, and he was made for it. Lo hi speak about the Shmoa, and the husband did not hear about it, Ashmeis. So the husband never knows about it, dies, after the father has been made for his half. Chozer Av, or Mefer Chelko Shobal. He can go back and then be Mefer the person or the part of the Baal. So again, here the finish is what? That even though the father has already done what he needed to do, he's almost out of the picture. Then the Baal dies without ever knowing about the nether. Then the father can come back into the picture and take care of what the husband was supposed to do. So again,
he's used up his kind of ability. And
right, so maybe, right, exactly. Maybe since he took himself out of the picture, he should have no ability to do anything anymore. The Chiddush is that he can still do it. Okay, this is only going to be according to Beis Shammai. We'll get to that later in the Gemara. Those are three cases that deal with the father's rights to be made fair the nether. Right? Those are the three cases that deal with the father's right to be made fair the nether. And each one of them is a Chiddush. One Chiddush is what the last case is, the Chiddush that even though the father eliminated himself from the picture, nevertheless, he's able to still be made fair the section of the Baal after the Baal dies, if the Baal didn't hear about it. The two first cases are the husband did know about it, and he was made fair it. So now the husband did an action. The only question was, did the father know about it or not know about the husband's action? When he didn't know about the father's actions, maybe the Baal would have weakened it so much that the father cannot inherit that right. Gemara responds that he does, that it's really not so weak. That really, that when we eliminate, when the husband dies, it eliminates the safar and brings it back to a full force netter. When it's a full force netter, the father can inherit it. And since he can inherit it, he can act on it. And that was the Havamina, that's the finish of the first case, that even when it's in its full force, meaning that when the husband dies, and the father knew about it, and they have lost that opportunity, nevertheless, the father still has the ability to go and be made for the husband's rights, even when the nether is in its full force. Even though it's in full force, the father has that right to be made for it. So that's it. So he can inherit it when it's weakened, he can be mafrid when it's in full force, and he can be mafrid even though he's eliminated himself from the picture. Those are the three cases that are chiddush where the father has rights. Now we're going to look at the husband's rights, and the husband does not have rights in any of these cases. All right, so going back to the Gemara. Shama Aviha, second line, last two words on the second line in the Gemara, on Shama Chumim Bet. Shama Aviha, right, the father heard about it, the Hekrela. This is the opposite case of what we had done, right? The father hears about it, and he's made for it. The Lo Yisrik Abal Shmach Misa'av, and then the father dies before the Baal ever knows about it. Right, so that is a case that maybe it's so weak now. The father did his job. The father did what he needed to do. So maybe the husband can just do his little piece, and it'll be okay. Maybe it's weakened enough. The Havamina of the Gemara is what? Maybe it's so weak that the husband can do his job without the father. Since he can do the job without the father, maybe it should work over here. Kamash Malan, Zuhi, Shishaninu, Mesav, Lo Nitzroch, Neshustabal. When the father dies, the husband gets no rights. Why is that? Because when the husband, the father dies, his hafara goes away. When he dies, and the husband has not heard about it yet, his hafara is gone. Once his hafara is gone, we're back to the original state, and the husband does not have a right to be made for the father's full-fledged nether.
Well, that makes sense from what we explained, the joint abilities, that the only logical reason, you know, that the husband has rights over there is through his connection to the father.
Right, has his rights to...
From a nether that pre-existed his... because he has rights to
oh, it's through the father. Right. I mean, if the husband is only a secondary party here, right? But the problem is, what happens if he takes net on it? It's not Ram Ruusa, right?
Yeah, but okay, the whole package was created.
Right. I told you that. I think when we said the introduction, I said that the Gemara is clear here that the father has more rights than the Baal. Right? How much or what it is, that's what we're discussing now, but it definitely has rights. Why? Right? That's a good question. You're trying to give a reason why it should be that way, because the fact that the husband's dependent on the father to get the codeman shows you that he's still secondary or subsidiary of the husband's, father's ability to be maker. Right? So that's the first case. Now the second case of Shama Aviyo, Shama Bala is on the second to last line of the Gemara here. It's the middle of the line. Shama Bala. Shama Bala of a hate for law. The husband hears about it, and he's made for it. And the father never hears about it and dies. The Baal can't be very shit about Mayfair Lamashutfus. The husband can only work in conjunction with the father. So what's the problem here? He cannot inherit the rights of the father. Right, the difference between the father can inherit the rights of the husband, but the husband cannot inherit the rights of the father. He can only work in tandem, in conjunction with the father. So that's the difference in their abilities. The husband's ability is only to work in tandem with the father, whereas the father can work either in tandem with the husband or inherit or take over the rights of the husband. That's a clear difference here. So now it's the chiddush. What are the chiddushim here? The chiddush in these two cases of Bala is the first case is a case where we thought maybe it's weak enough for the husband to be made for it. Why? Because the father was made for his half of the nether. So he's out of the picture. Maybe the husband should be able to come along now and take care of the whatever's left over. The answer is no. He can't do that. Why? Because it's really when he dies, the father dies, it's as if he never did anything. If he never did anything, then what? It's in its full strength. If it's in its full strength, the husband can't do anything. The second case is what? A weakened nether. The husband weakened the nether. He was made for it. So now what's left over is only the left that father had. Maybe he should be able to inherit that which little piece that's left over. The answer is no, because it's such an insignificant piece, he can't inherit it. He can't inherit what the father has because he still needs the father. He has to work in shutfus, he has to work together with the father.
So it's a legitimate basis for saying that if someone paid and if someone's made for and then died, that their afara is eliminated.
Because they're not. You need, and again, you need Vavadaka. This is what Steve was pointing out. In the end, you need Vavadaka. Vavadaka doesn't literally have to mean that they do it together, but they both have to be around at a point where they've both been made there.
Why is that? So that they can be able to interact?
You know? They don't have to interact. That's a requirement of Vavadaka. That's the Gemara yesterday said, right? That the requirement of Vavadaka is learned out of the pasuk in. But Akas was in the beginning of the Gemara yesterday, that Kamash Mon, Nefenei Mishneim, Bavad Akas. That's the Kamash Mon from the case in the Mishnah that says that, why did we have to, what was that, what was the reason to bring down these extra cases, the case of Kiyum at the end, Inter Chalom, Shekayim, Echad Mehem, if one of them is Mekayim. The Gemara there says that the reason is because you require a Shutfus. And that may be from the last Pasuk in the Parsha here. The last Pasuk in the Parsha says, Ben Avdubito, right, and Ben Ishlishto. That there's some sort of partnership that has to be existent, coexistent at the time. So that partnership, they both have to be around to exercise that partnership, right? So even if you can do it, they can do it on separate dates. But they just need a requirement of Barachas, so at least that they both exist at the same point in time. They're both around to have the partnership work. Partnership can't work or one party is done with their part, dies, and then the other party shows up and does their part. I mean, that's not considered Barachas anymore. That's why Zafar goes away. Zafar goes away because he was never doing it in a context where they both could be, they both know about it and they're both being Mefer. Alright, so now, going to this, going to the Ran, right, we have six cases here. It's really five cases. I made a sixth case out of the first case here, which it says that you can't do it, where the Baal's make him in, or something like that. Right. The first case was really two sets, one where it works and where it doesn't work. But so he has six cases here. Three cases where the father is able to take over the rights of the husband, and three cases where the husband's not, or it's two of them are the husband's not able to take over the rights, and one where the father's not able to take over the rights of the husband. And the key, in each of these cases, there's a chiddush, either because it's so weak, we would thought that the husband can work, and we say, no, he doesn't work, because the husband does not have the ability to be made from the netter when it's weakened, either because we say that when the father dies, it's as if the hafara goes away, and it's really a strong netter, or because the husband just doesn't have enough rights to do it. To do such a thing. The other chiddush is what, even when the husband was maker and it's mikvash kolish, you would think he could inherit that little right left, that little insignificant thing. Kamash malam, that you can't. But the husband does not have the right to inherit that which the father leaves over, because he always needs the shutfus ha'av. He always needs the father. And the chiddushim the other way. Now, just to point out that the Ran is playing both sides of the coin here in his chiddushim. Because he's saying both that in the weakened form, the nether, right, and he says that, we can read it inside in a second, I'll leave that at the end, but in the weakened form, he's saying that the chiddush goes both ways. The chiddush is that in the weakened form, the husband should be able to be made for it because it's such a little, it's so insignificant. So insignificant, we say, oh, maybe the husband should be able to eliminate it. On the other hand, he's saying it's so insignificant, maybe the father can't inherit it. Meaning that you have to pick one. He's playing both sides of the by saying in a weakened form, a nether that has been partially been made mufar, has been mufar in part, he's saying, look, the Gemara has two avenues. One avenue is that should be so weak that the husband should be able to work in this case. Or we're saying it's so weak that the father may not be able to work in this case because he can't inherit that right, it's so weakened. So pick your case. And the Ran says that's not a problem because you can have such a case where, you know, weakness can be a, he goes, I'll go through it again. I'm just pointing out that's probably the biggest weakness, not a plain word, but biggest weakness in the Ran's pshat is that he's saying that the Havamino in these two cases uses weakness both to its disadvantage in two different ways. Right, it's playing both sides of the coin. If you're saying it's so weak, you can't inherit it.
It's two different powers.
Right. It is.
The reason, the power of each party comes from a different place. The power of the father comes from the Torah saying that if the Baal dies, she goes back to the father. Right. But in the husband, the Arus's power comes from the fact that, you know, from here and on,
He has a relationship with her,
but not from here and back.
Right.
So it's two different relationships, so that's why it would make sense to say that there's a different approach for each one.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, there is, in the Maskana, but Maskana, what you're saying makes sense. There's no question that there's a difference in their rights, and that's what you're explaining. The question is in the Havam, you know, what's the Gemara thinking, and that it brings down each one. Just last line in the Gemara here, I'm already not done. Hein Tibre Beit Shammai. This is the interpretation of Beit Shammai. That last case where we said that it doesn't work, right, that is only Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, and Yochel Ha'efer. Beis Hillel says you cannot be Mayfair. So we know that Beis Shammai Mizuk Yosgoyis, Beis Hillel Miklosh Kolish. So that we see, what? The difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the answer to our question about whether it gets cut off or it's weakened is because of this last case. What was the last case in the Gemara? Last case was Shammai Biha, the father heard, the Hefela, and he was Mayfair. He then gave a part to it. Below he speak about the Shammai Shmais, and then the Baal never heard about it, and then he died. Chozer Ab will make Rechel Kosher Baal. The father can go back and take care of what the Baal did. So that depends on what happened here. If you say when the father went ahead and was made for the nether, he cut the nether in half. If he cut the nether in half, then what's left over? The husband's full-fledged, right, half to be made for. That the husband, the father can inherit, and he can eliminate. Somebody that's in full-fledged, full force, he can inherit, and then he can eliminate. So that's where Beis Shammai says over here that you can be, the father can be made for Chelko Shabbat. Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel disagrees and says what? Beis Hillel says no, that when the father is made for, it's Miklash Kolish. He weakened the nether. He weakened the nether, and then what's left? It's only this weakened form of the nether that's left for the husband. That the father can inherit because it's too insignificant. Since it's too insignificant, the father can take over that, right? And be made for the Baal. So according to Beis Hillel in this last case, the father will not inherit the rights. He will not inherit the rights to it, and therefore, since he will not inherit the rights to it, he cannot, right, be made for. So that would be the conclusion of our Gemara is, are you weakening a nether, or are you cutting a nether in half? That'll depend if you hold like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. How do we know what Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai hold? We know that from this last case, because they disagree about whether the father can inherit the right in this last case or not.
Why don't we know this from the previous cases?
Because the previous cases don't, in the end, we said that that was the Habamim, it was Miklash Kolish, but not Mika's Goyz. What do you mean? What don't we know?
I have to go through this again, but
why don't we know that Miklash Kolish is how we don't know that's what the Gemara is talking about in these previous cases?
Yeah.
Oh, because in the end, we don't, I mean, in the end, this is Divrei Beis Shammai. In the end, it's Divrei Beis Shammai, and Divrei Beis Shammai says that it's I take that. Maybe you're right. You could have learned out from the previous cases that it's Miklash Kolish.
Another problem I'm saying is, would Beis Hillel say, Ein Yechel Hafer in all the previous cases?
No. Oh, so I thought that last night I was thinking about that. I worked through all the cases and I went back through them again. And no, they'd only seen in this case, because in all the other cases, in the end, we only said there was a Havamina, that it was weakened. But in the end, we believe that it was in full force. And when it's in full force, the father can inherit it. But it's only this case where the father himself did the Hafara. When the father did the Hafara, he weakened the nether, and therefore there's nothing to inherit. Whereas, if the Baal did the Hafara and dies, right? When the father does the hafara and he's still alive, then we have a weakened nether. But the Baal does the hafara and he weakened the nether and he dies, it reverts back to being a full force nether, because that's what I was saying before, that's what Shaul says, but that, how do you know that the hafara goes away? Because exactly this, that the Beis Hillel doesn't disagree in those other cases. Those other cases, he says, what? The hafara, when the Baal dies, goes away. It's as if it was eliminated. If it's eliminated, then the nether is back to its full force, and its full force, the father can inherit it.
According to Beis Shammai, doesn't matter
because Beis Shammai, it'll always stay, the din will stay this way. But for Beis Hillel, there'll be a difference between who did the Hafara. If the father does the Hafara and he's still alive, and that's the last case, then the Miklash Kolish, and he can't inherit it. In previous cases, the husband did the Hafara and then died.
In all of them, that's the case?
Yeah, all the other cases, it's that, not the cases where it's we're talking about the husband surviving, we're saying the cases where the father gets rights. The cases where the father gets rights, all those cases were cases where the Baal did Hafara and then died. So when he died, he eliminated his Hafara and the nether goes back to its full status. When it goes back to its full status, the father can take it over and be made for it. So Beis Hillel will only disagree in this last case, not in those previous cases. Because the problem is Miklash Kolish, and in the other cases, it's not Miklash Kolish. Right? Stop here.